Hey everyone, and welcome to the Clear Cash Podcast. I am your host, Julian, and as always, with me, Nick.
Hi.
Aw, that was cute. Hi. Sound like a little cherub on the other end.
Hi. Hello.
The Christmas cherub is here to deliver sweet sounds.
Hi.
Oh man. How are you, Nick?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah?
How are you doing?
Good. It's this is like arguably what, like the best time of year for a lot of people.
It's the most wonderful time of year for a lot of people.
There were songs written about it being the most wonderful time.
I literally made a dreidel out of clay.
It's so cute.
And with dreidel I have played.
I don't know if I've actually ever spun a dreidel.
Is it fun? It's fun. It's a top.
Yeah.
You know, it's a spinning top.
They look so perfectly designed for spinning. You know?
They're very like the classic dreidel design of like the square with the spherical bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's very primitive looking and it spins like a motherfucker, I'll tell you that.
If you get a good torque on it, it just goes and goes and goes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't need to be improved. The Inception top, big
should have been a dreidel
in comparison. Yeah. Should have been a dreidel,
because then see if at the end of Inception if Leo spun a dreidel, all of the questions about is it going to stop or not completely moot, because we would know that it's not going to stop, because those dreidels, they just go.
That's right,
they just go.
It'd be this whole like secular undertext, or not, the opposite of secular, religious undertext.
He should have done that. He should have thrown that wrench into it, because that would be a Nolan thing, you know, to have like there be no religious overtones throughout the whole movie, and at the end have the top turn into a dreidel as it spins.
It just turns into a dreidel. That would be extremely confusing.
On record, Nolan Brothers, two thumbs up.
The Prestige is their best movie.
Fantastic movie. Abracadabra.
So we're talking about other stuff today.
Yeah,
surprise.
Yeah, we derailed pretty quickly. But yeah, this is not about the Nolan Brothers. It's not about any of their movies.
You know what? Let me tell you something. We can tie this into Westworld very easily.
The GTA stuff?
Yeah, we're going to talk about how there are mysteries afoot in existing fictions that appear to have nothing to do with them.
I see where you're going.
That are perhaps intrinsically tied to the very fiber of those fictions. And much like the maze in Westworld.
The game within the game.
We're going to talk about the Chilliad mystery.
Yeah. This is worth talking about, I think. I think it's worth revisiting, especially since GTA Online is like just got this crazy update that explicitly is tied to the Chilliad mystery, the Fort Zancudo mystery.
Remember how earlier I said I was feeling pretty good? I'm actually a little bummed.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you that. I'm actually a little bummed.
Okay.
Reason being, Chilliad mystery, five year old mystery at this point.
Has it really been 5 years?
It's been fucking like 5 years. Let me make sure.
No way, dude. Because GTA came out when we were roommates, and that was in 2014.
No, 2013.
Oh, you're right, 2013.
It's going on 5 years.
Fuck.
Sorry. Okay, it's 4.5.
Yeah. We'll call it five. We'll call it five.
It's a long time. It's very long. It's
yes.
A very, very long time to pursue an ever-present mystery that makes itself known, that has since been retconned out of existence.
Yes.
Which fucking sucks.
Like immediately dashed away.
Yeah, so I have a lot of feelings about this subject.
And we're gonna get into them right now. You need this forum to express, because since this game has come out, we've talked about it a few times. I think maybe put your head into it a little farther than I did. I scratched the surface a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a lot to digest, and the community that got involved within it was deep.
dedicated, and
controversial.
Yes.
A lot of infighting, bickering.
Oh, yes.
Tons of infighting.
So the concept of a mystery versus like an Easter egg in a video game has been a subject that's fascinated me for a long time. So we're not talking about like you found like a hidden room and it's got an extra life in it, right? We're talking about like there's like some other shit going on in this game that requires a lot of work for you to reveal, and then you gain access to some like entirely new level, like not like in the game sense level, but like an entirely new
experience.
Yeah. So the first example explicitly that I was aware of is Banjo-Kazooie in the Ice Key, and its interaction with some mystery mechanic referred to as the stop and swap. It was later revealed that the intention of the Ice Key and the stop and swap in Banjo-Kazooie was you would literally be able to pick up the Ice Key, which you were unable to access in Banjo-Kazooie, but should you be able to access it by completing whatever objectives you would, mystery objectives, you would get the Ice Key, and then you would physically remove the cartridge from your N64 and then put in the Banjo-Tooie, the sequel cartridge, and the memory of the N64 would have kept that you have the Ice Key in it, and then you would use the Ice Key in Banjo-Tooie
to unlock a stage there.
Yeah, some secret shit.
Yeah.
Rare was very big on secret shit, which is awesome, in my opinion. I love secret shit. And it was never resolved. Like, they never actually implemented that mechanic. But there was a long time spent trying to figure out both how to get the Ice Key and then what to do with the Ice Key.
Mm-hmm. But there was no fruition there, right? Like, the stop and swap thing never really worked.
Okay, so on the N64, no, it never did work. However, on Xbox Live Arcade, they released Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie as Xbox Live Arcade downloadable games, right? And they weren't direct ports, they were improvements. And one of the improvements that they made was they enabled you to use the stop and swap function by switching games on your Xbox. So it sort of worked in like a post-mortem sense, mm-hmm. on the Xbox only, but it was never successfully implemented on the N64. And they made reference to it in Banjo-Tooie on the N64 by allowing you to find these hidden Easter eggs that contained Banjo-Kazooie cartridges in-game, and yes. Then you'd crack them open, and then they would have things like the Ice Key in them. And then they'd be like, whoa, check this out. This is a funny, weird mystery.
Right.
And it wasn't very satisfying.
No.
But, you know, they acknowledged it.
They planted a seed for future developers to think about.
Totally. And there's... The N64 is... existed early enough on in the internet's timeline that people were still... people were new to investigating in-game mysteries, like, as a community. And so they would spend a lot of time on things like this, and they would also spend a lot of time on bullshit. Like, one of the mysteries that I spent a lot of time trying to unravel that simply didn't exist was unlocking Luigi in Mario 64.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, I think we both have similar stories where in the early days you would find a site like supercheats.com and you would see it was all user submitted. Yeah. And I remember playing Smash Brothers on 64, and if you went, you know, when that game was out on Super Cheats, looked at the cheat area for Super Smash Bros. 64, it was like how to unlock Squirtle, how to unlock Goku, how to unlock Superman as a playable character. Yeah. And it was always something like, I remember the method to unlock Squirtle would be to stand in a certain place on the Hyrule Castle stage. Uh-huh. And kick for 30 seconds straight with Fox, and you would get a little message that would pop up, you know, that here comes a new challenger, and it would be Squirtle. Yeah. I tried it. Didn't happen. No Squirtle. No Squirtle in that game. But that game admittedly did have ways to unlock characters that were kind of outside of the box thinking. You know, it was like, to unlock Ness, you have to beat something in 30 seconds, but there's no indication of that. That's what you have to do. It's just like random, you know?
Totally. So there was this balance between community desire to find things they basically wanted to exist in games that may or may not actually exist, and developers taking advantage of community's drives to uncover things. So Smash Brothers had weird ways to unlock characters because they were aware that players were going to be dedicated enough to find them and to do them, right? And then Banjo-Kazooie in Rare, in general, was aware that communities are going to figure these things out if they're dedicated enough, because mysteries are tantalizing, and communities want to find secrets. The hunt itself is compelling, and then the reveal of whatever that is that they offer is, you know, also very exciting for a lot of people.
Yes.
And I think GTA, in particular GTA 5, builds on that in like a dramatic way, by suggesting a huge mystery that is hinted at fucking like everywhere in the game. There are clues everywhere,
right?
And it also like explicitly makes itself aware, like it tells you come back when your story is complete, and suggests that there's something for you to find.
Right.
So maybe
let's talk about that. Let's talk right now explicitly about the mystery itself and where it was born and mm-hmm. its life cycle and where it is now.
Okay, so the mystery is referred to as the Chilean mystery, and it's it starts at the top of Mount Chiliad, which is the largest geological structure in the game,
aka the best place to launch off with a motorcycle or car, anything. Totally. Or just jump off of it. It's great.
Yeah, you got a nice view. It's a observably a tourist destination when you get to the top of Mount Chiliad, typically by the
cable car.
There are people walking around with backpacks and stuff, taking pictures and everything, and you can see San Andreas around. It's a beautiful view, like gorgeous. All the way around. Yeah, very nicely designed. And if you take the cable car up, you land at a platform, and beneath the platform there's a message scrawled, and it says, come back when your story is complete. And it's clearly directed at you, the player, right? And if you walk a little bit further away, there's an excavated cavern that you can enter, and there is what appears to be a freight elevator, and right next to the freight elevator is this crude like prehistoric looking map that obviously represents Mount Chiliad in silhouette.
It's the shape of a pyramid.
Yes, and there above it is a very large UFO. It's surrounded by lightning bolts, and then going down, as in like a flowchart, are a series of glyphs culminating at the bottom, in one of which is a UFO, one of which is a cracked egg, and then another is a stick figure on what appears to be a jetpack. And so what this means, and what you come back when your story is complete for, is in essence the Chiliad mystery, right?
Mm-hmm.
So immediately what's revealed to you when you come back after beating the game is, I think it's necessary to actually 100%
the game. You have to 100% the game. And then return to Chiliad at a certain time of day.
Right. So at 3 a.m. on a rainy night, you can see at the top of Mount Chiliad a UFO directly in front of you. It's quite close, too. You can't interact with it. You can't land on it or anything. It disappears if you actually touch it. Additionally, in two other locations, there are also UFOs. There's a UFO, a slightly different UFO, that appears over the hippie camp, which is the in-game simulacrum of Salvation Mountain.
It's that area that's run by an old hippie, that's all these colorful rocks painted with messages of I love Jesus. Yeah. And
yeah, in real life, it's totally dedicated to Jesus, and it's just paint everywhere, very psychedelic caverns leading underneath it and everything. In the in-game version, it is dedicated to aliens. There's aliens fucking like graffiti all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also like what appears to be like some like indecipherable language scribbled all over the place. So anyway, above the hippie camp is another UFO, a little bit different. Both of these two UFOs have FIB markings on them, which is the in-game version of the FBI. Very clever, right?
Very clever.
And then, very clever. And then the third UFO is above Fort Zancudo, which is the in-game military base. This UFO is very different. It looks like a prototype vehicle. It's very like angular and has gaps in its design and stuff. It looks like a military vehicle. It's way above Fort Zancudo, and if you get close to it, it zaps you. And then printed on the UFO, this particular UFO, are the words segregate and rearrange. So what the UFOs mean, and if they mean anything, and if the locations that they appear above have any weight at all, has been the thrust of the Chilliad mystery, because like everybody can unlock them and they can see them, but what the fuck does this have to do with the map? What does the map mean?
And right,
like that dude is clearly fucking flying a jetpack.
Where is that jetpack?
Totally.
Is the egg, the cracked egg, a reference to just Easter eggs, or is there an actual egg that you'll be hatched out of at one point?
You don't know. Nobody's really clear on this stuff, and but the assumption has always been whatever is at the end of this mystery is certain. It's a jetpack. You're gonna get a jetpack when you complete the mystery. It's just what you do to do that is totally unknown. So there are a couple of major clues in the game. There's the segregate and rearrange. There's come back when your story is complete. There's the map. There is the two cults in the game, the altruists and the epsilonists, both of whom purport to have like secret knowledge about the future of San Andreas. The epsilonists specifically refer to aliens in their religion. So given that there are three UFOs in the game, are they connected? The epsilonists in particular have a very like obtuse side mission path that involves like a weird like divining rod type device that you get at one point where you were supposed to find things in a desert with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. It's a very strange side mission path. And so people think like maybe there's something that you have to do on the side mission path to get to the end or something.
Because the Epsilon's arc, those side missions end in a really unclimactic way. Like, if
yes.
I remember correctly, there's no real resolution. You feel... I remember when you first played the game, you specifically, I remember you doing the part where you have to walk around for... in the desert for like 3 hours or something.
Mm-hmm. It sucks.
Yeah,
and it's
you built. I remember you built a, not built, but you just put a rubber band over your controller to keep Michael walking through the desert.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. It's very obtuse. Yeah, it sucks. And like the language that the Epsilonists use is willfully dense in a way that suggests like there's something to decode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's also like a big issue, is a lot of the game suggests that there's something to decode, but we'll get back to that.
Okay.
Because keep in mind, there's also like an apparent glyph language at the hippie camp that appears to mean something. In addition to this, there's also a bunch of men in black surrounding the interstellar satellite dishes in Sandy Shores. Like, why they're there, nobody's really clear on. The men in black also are taking up camp around a standalone building in the middle of the desert that has a bunch of security cameras pointing out from it. Does the building mean something? So this is all this is much of the in-game stuff. There's also the conspiracy theorist himself, Lester, who is one of the mission givers in the game, whose house is decorated with conspiracy theories inside. And among them, and in radio dialogue, are suggestions of two major cataclysmic events that are coming for San Andreas, one of which is a flood and the other is an asteroid. They could be intrinsically tied, like the asteroid could result in a flood. But hunters have assumed that there's something that can be done to trigger one of these things, or that they relate to the mystery somehow. So
maybe the asteroid is a giant space egg. The egg's gonna land, crack open.
Well, let's talk about the egg. Okay, so like this is much of the in-game stuff. The readily apparent in-game stuff. Additionally, the game has also been receiving updates since its release in 2013, right? And hunters who refer to themselves as code walkers have been basically like data mining the PC release for code references to jetpacks and stuff like that, and they found a number of things that refer to this mystery or that compound the mystery in a couple of ways, and chief among them is a literal alien egg object that is like a green egg. It has a crack in it, and it doesn't have any function in the game. You never find it, you never see it in any mission.
It's just a piece of code hidden away that's an image of an egg, a 3D object of an egg.
It's a polygonal object, and it can function, and you can spawn it even using the director mode and calling the object directly. So that's weird. And then additionally, some of the code references directly refer to a jetpack. I think there's a particular code line that says has jetpack. It's a check to see if you have it or not. And this code that references jetpacks has existed since 2015.
Right. And not to throw you off too much, but the jetpack has already existed in a GTA game before. It was in San Andreas, which was before 4. So that was, I don't know where that marks in the timeline.
It's officially 2 games ago in like the main timeline.
That's right.
There are also the Liberty City stories and stuff, but forget about
that. Yeah, forget that shit. And that game had a jetpack that you could access via that game's version of Area 51, which you would break into.
Area 69.
Area 69, of course. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And importantly, the jetpack sucked. Like, it wasn't a fun vehicle.
No, it was really shitty. I mean, it was good at going up and down, but that's about it.
Yeah. It's not a fun device. And we'll get back to the outcome of the mystery. But as far as code walking goes, they've also discovered that recently the developers added 2 kinds of spider webs that are like very carefully designed. They also look a lot, if not identical, to some mural friezes that are already in the game. And they're placed very sparingly throughout the game. And they only appear, excuse me, at certain times during the day. So why the fuck have they added this? What does that mean?
Right.
The point is that there's a lot of like vague, indecipherable, inscrutable stuff happening in GTA that hunters have assumed all ties into this unsolvable mystery because nothing else is solving it. They've even gone as far as to examine like sound design and lighting design, some of which is actually strange. Like there's a sacrificial cave beneath the altruist camp and it makes a strange humming noise, or there's also like a strange alarm that goes off outside of the altruist camp. There's a cave that has a door beneath Mount Chiliad that can't be opened. There's a cave leading into a mine shaft where you can hear strange sounds. There are places in the game where you hear whispers and there are no people around. There's an elevator in Fort Zancudo that goes into the earth, but you can't open it. And sometimes above the elevator on the structure in which the elevator is located, these crazy lights will appear, like, blaring down from the sky.
Oh, man.
What does this fucking mean?
It's so wild, you know? I can... Yeah, yeah. It's totally understandable how people can get completely, in, like, just into this, you know?
Totally. Totally. And, like, when I was trying to find Luigi and Mario, like, I was fucking scouring Angel Fire pages, like, all day, you know? Right. Like, I was looking at shitty Photoshops of, like, somebody took a screenshot of Mario and, like, used the paint tool to, like, paint his coveralls green.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I bought it, like... The hunt is, like, rad. It's super rad. But a lot of the clues in GTA 5, like, don't fucking, like, mean anything intrinsically. Like, you just assume that they do if you, like, are looking for it.
So do you think that Rockstar's original intention with the mural and the comeback when the game is 100% complete, do you think their intention was to have that be the summation and be the end? Would be to just see the UFOs.
So I'll tell you what I think, and I'll tell you what happened. Okay, so what I think is that Come Back When Your Story Is Complete alludes to the UFOs. I think the mural alludes to a resolvable mystery, which is in addition to the UFOs.
Okay.
I think that Come Back When Your Story Is Complete was meant to draw attention to the UFOs so that you would pay attention to the Chilliad mystery and try to solve that next. But I also think that a lot of the clues that people think directly relate to solving the mystery, like, are just standalone Easter eggs that are Easter eggs unto themselves. Like,
and GTA games are filled to the brim with Easter eggs, especially GTA 5.
Yeah. Like, San Andreas had one where if you fucking, like, go to a secret place on top of a bridge, or I think it was on top of a bridge, or maybe it was on top of...
It was on top of a bridge that was out in the desert.
Okay.
And if you went to the top, it had a sign.
And it said, like, there is no Easter egg here, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So segregate and rearrange. If you rearrange the word segregate as an anagram, you get the word Easter egg.
Well, there you go.
So I think that language is just saying this UFO itself is an Easter egg.
Okay.
Not like go elsewhere and find an anagram somewhere else in the game to solve the major mystery, which is what that language has been used to drive forward the mystery for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
So Rockstar has implied that there's a mystery, and much of the hunt has been driven around attaching all of these, like, essentially unrelated details to the mystery. And I think that a lot of that is Rockstar's fault for implying that there's a mystery. And then a lot of that is the hunter's fault for not understanding that Rockstar is simply, like, maniacally focused on detail in their games. Like, GTA 5, for all of its flaws, is one of the most detailed video games, like, ever fucking produced, and that's saying a lot because that game is massive.
Huge.
It's just it's unfathomable how large that game is, like, especially with regards to how much unique detail is in that game.
Mm-hmm.
There are, like, unique sounds, unique lighting effects, unique, like, textures and shaders applied all across that game that just don't need to be there. And within the realm, if you put that game through the same filter that you would put any other game in terms of thinking about its game design and its development, it doesn't make sense. So, like, if I'm playing any other game, if I see a very detailed object, I'm going to interact with that object, because that's how costs are measured in game development. You don't put a shitload of time into an object that nobody touches.
Yeah, it's like when you watch a cartoon, the stuff that you know is going to be interacted with has that extra layer of quality to it. You can always tell when you watch an anime or a cartoon what the character is going to bash or run into or open or touch.
Completely, yeah. That's the same exact logic. Also, like, there's just thousands of lines of dialogue in that game. And some characters only speak these lines, and some characters only speak these lines, and all of the character faces are all equally hyper-detailed. like a flip-flop sounds this way in a puddle of water, right? And this cave sounds different from this cave. And I think hunters have seen, like, this cave sounds weird. It must be related to the mystery, and now understood, like, that's actually just super careful environmental design, not yes. game design.
Right.
Like, even this is an important part, because this has actually played a part in people trying to examine the mystery. Each of the three characters see the sun differently. The sun has a different shape and aura depending on which character you've selected.
Wow, okay. I didn't notice that ever.
Just a fucking totally unnecessary detail.
Yeah.
But that's real. Like, that, I imagine that is really the case. You and I see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think happened is Rockstar planned on releasing DLC for this game that was going to expand on the Chilliad mystery, and that you were going to have to complete certain things before you could access it.
Right. And I mean, they had, during their first release of the game and in pre-release, there had been many hints and discussions that GTA was going to have standalone single-player DLC that followed through with story beats and was going to add more to the story of the game. And yes, that didn't happen.
Well, no, so I think that they were going to release standalone DLC that was going to lead to the Chilliad mystery. I don't think it was in the game already.
Right.
And Rockstar has said that they were developing standalone DLC for the single player content, and they redirected those resources to online.
Yeah. Content. I mean, all the DLC that came out through GTA, beyond paying for like the mega packs of money to buy stuff, has been more or less free, right?
Yeah, and it's all been for GTA
Online. It's all been GTA Online.
Right. So the reason that I know that the Chilliad mystery was going to be single player content and is now no longer single player content is that in 2015, a so-called code walker found a reference to the jetpack and a reference to what they assumed was a place called Clifford. Turns out Clifford is the name of the AI that plays a major role in the Doomsday Heist, which is the new GTA Chilliad mystery content that is in GTA Online. So they've been planning for this gameplay stuff for 2 years now, at least. And it's very likely they intended for all of this to be single player content, but they also absolutely, on the record, did not expect GTA Online to do as well as it did.
No, I mean, it still is a huge deal. It's massive. I mean, it's thousands upon thousands of people still play GTA Online.
Yeah, totally. And one of its largest proponents, I don't remember his full name, but they referred to him in the studio as the Benz. He was responsible for spearheading GTA Online. And when it became as big of a deal as it did after he left, they asked for him to come back. Because it, like, is the thrust of this game's success at this point. It's still like number 3 on Steam charts. I can't imagine what it's doing on consoles.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, they've had they've re-released it, obviously, on Xbox One and PS4. So they doubled their money in that regard. I mean, I purchased it on Xbox One when it came out at full retail price, just because why not, right? I mean,
totally.
And it's they've done really well. I mean, the game's life cycle is still going strong. I mean, obviously 4.5, almost 5 years now down the line, and they're still releasing DLC packs it's weird to call them DLC. I guess they're just enhancement for GTA Online.
Yeah, there's expansions there.
It just, whatever. Yeah, expansions. And, I mean, they're still going. I mean, they release them every few months. And this new one, as Nick mentioned, is the Doomsday Heist. And, yeah, it's from what it sounds like, it's the single-player experience of the coming to fruition with the mystery of Chilliad.
So the Doomsday Heist is about, there's some major Doomsday event, and you need to go into Mount Chilliad and cooperate with like some gnarly supercomputer AI to save San Andreas, and you use jetpacks and like to do this. So it's like it is, as far as I can tell, the resolution to this entire content. And like the shitty part, the part that frustrates me, and like as an onlooker, because I never participated in this, I just don't have the time.
Yeah, neither have I.
To do it.
Well, I casually browsed the Chiliad Mystery subreddit.
That's about it. And if you go there, you can see they are very upset. And I think reasonably so, because the game explicitly says it has a mystery to solve, and then there's nothing for you to fucking solve. It's just they took it out. They literally extracted it and put it into GTA Online and nullified the entire hunt. Which I think is fucking like really fucked up.
Yeah.
There's the funny thing is that there are there are at least a few hunters who are like, no, it's still out there. We can still solve this.
Feels nice. Yeah. Ouch. They can't. They can't. Yeah. Do you think?
People don't want to believe that Rockstar is willing to sink so low, so to speak.
Right. That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Is it if Rockstar is? I mean, they must be aware of the life that the Chiliad Mystery took and the way it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But like, Rockstar is a cynical company. Like, it's a company, so it's cynical by nature. But I don't know why people, and I like foolishly, I don't know why I also like didn't expect this to happen all the time or the whole time, because like. San Andreas had a similar mystery, not as intrinsically woven as not by like a long shot as intrinsically woven as this, but the hunt for Bigfoot in San Andreas was intense, and it implied that there was a Bigfoot, and Rockstar was aware that there was a hunt for the Bigfoot. Obviously, like this was pre-DLC. This was like PS2 Xbox era.
Mm-hmm.
But they resolved it in Red Dead Redemption by including Bigfoot as a side quest, which was referred to as 6 years in the making, which is the distance of time between San Andreas and Rockstar and Red Dead.
And then they also included Bigfoot in GTA 5.
Yeah, you're right.
He was I think he might have been added or he was originally in the full release of the game, but you have to 100% the game and do a few side quests, and you eventually get a mission. The hunting missions. And the last hunting mission is you hunt Bigfoot.
And then it turns out it's a guy.
Yeah.
Right, in a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like Rockstar is totally aware of their fan base and their dedication to finding and solving the mysteries that they put in their game. And it's like, you know, it's honestly kind of fucked up that Rockstar is continuing to suggest that there are mysteries, and then actually there just aren't any, you stupid asshole.
Right.
Yeah. So that's my feeling. And I'm disappointed, not because like I wanted a jetpack, or even because like I'm disappointed in Rockstar. Like, I don't know. I mean, GTA is a mechanically awesome game, but I don't like expect a lot morally or ethically out of Rockstar judging by that game. But like solving an in-game mystery is really fascinating to me, because you see more world building in the exposition of that mystery. Like, I expected to see the interior of Mount Chiliad, or I expected to take the elevator in Fort Zancudo down to wherever it goes. You know, I didn't want whatever weapon was there. I just wanted to see that shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there's an inherent curiosity when you're playing a game that's set in a specific environment where there's things in the distance that seem unattainable, mm-hmm. and with the prospect that you could reach there. I mean, that falls in line with the people who perform like tricks in Super Mario to reach places where you can't reach, right? It's like, what could be on the other side of this wall? Is it just nothing? Is there something?
There's a combination of that curiosity, and there's also an element of the developers have designed something to reward specifically me, because I'm extra curious, or I'm aware of this secret. Like, I'm one of the select few, you know?
Right, which is, at its core, the belief of what an Easter egg is, right? I mean, don't you think? I mean, obviously, Easter eggs have, their meaning has gone through many changes, especially with the advent of Marvel movies and things like that, where you see references, like now an Easter egg can just be a reference to something. Mm-hmm. I feel like early Easter eggs would be something in a game where if you did a certain action at a certain place, it would reveal something. It was hidden. Mm-hmm. Easter eggs, I mean, across the board, they seem to hold on to the fact that they should be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
But their value has changed over time.
Yeah, with a game of this scope, an Easter egg that you end up solving. So Easter eggs themselves are like secrets that the developer is telling you when you find them. So in like a private way, in an intimate way, you're communing with the developer in private, away from other players. You know, the developer is like, hey, check this out, dude. Like, you found some cool shit that I wanted to show you. Right. And just you, because you're extra curious or you're extra like driven.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they've taken that intimacy out of the experience of going into Mount Chiliad now or wherever you go. Like, there's no more like secrecy.
Doesn't feel special. Doesn't feel like you're special. When they just give it to everyone, it doesn't feel like you. There was no payoff. All the work. I mean, there's literally people who have been investigating this with insane dedication for years.
Absolutely.
And I just to imagine what it would feel like to be in their shoes and then to have Rockstar just kind of just casually push out the resolution to everyone, to people who had no idea that the mystery was even there. I mean, I guarantee you, like, the amount of people who actually know about this mystery is way, like, incredibly small compared to the amount of people that just casually play GTA and wait for these online updates.
Yeah, and I don't want to be, like, elitist about it. Like, I'm glad. That's not the point. The point is that any Easter egg in any game is, like, the developer telling you a secret. And now they're not, now you're not having that specific kind of experience. Although, like, anybody can go to an Easter egg, and I could have just looked up the resolution to an Easter egg online and still had the same experience as the person who found it.
Right.
It's just not presented in the same way. And also, like, honestly, fuck Rockstar for literally pulling the rug out from under these fucking hunters and being like, forget you assholes, you're not our money bank.
Yeah.
That's cold.
It's super cold. And I guarantee you that they're going to hold this against them. And probably they've lost a few customers.
I want to think that.
I know, right? Really just I know. Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out like next year.
Everyone's the culmination of this, though, is there is a thread in the Chiliad mystery subreddit that says everybody at the forum should automatically be given a jetpack.
A real working jetpack.
You know what? They probably mean that.
Oh, my God. Well, let's go play the Doomsday Heist.
Yeah, I'll show you around.
All right, cool.